I will try to skip over some of my presentation that I think maybe closely mirrors what Mike and Boyd have already kind of given you a background information on. I really want to acknowledge the many collaborators who helped make our project successful, and in particular, I want to recognize Doris Camara, who's in the audience here, who is in charge of our intervention at the Harris County Hospital District, and did an amazing job getting our program implemented. To put our project in context, we always like to say, you know, everything's big in Texas. Unfortunately, we're number one in the percentage of working Texans who lack access to health insurance. And the way that Texas tries to address that is through a county health authority that provides the safety net indigent health care, particularly in the large counties like Houston, where our project was based. Just to give you some numbers, 250,000 working age Texans with disabilities receive SSI, 380,000 receive SSDI, and as other people have pointed out, it's expensive, not only in the direct income payments, but in the health care expenses associated with that. Again, we followed the standard criteria, working 48 or more hours a month. We use 21 to 60, not currently receiving Medicaid. And again, our specific population had to be at risk for disability, and we used either a diagnosis of serious mental illness or a combined diagnosis of a behavioral health problem plus a physical health disorder that would put them at risk for disability. One quick note, out of 30,000 patients that we screened for participation in the project, 690 failed to qualify for the study because they were already applying for or receiving disability. So we did feel like we really targeted a group that really was at risk for disability. Again, our number, we recruited 1,616. It was slightly less than Boyd's slide due to attrition and Social Security matching, 904 in the intervention, 712 in the control group. Again, a set of coordinated health benefits, predominantly the no copays for physical, behavioral, prescriptions, and dental and vision care. There was a yearly cap on the dental benefits. A key component of our intervention was the case management by master-level social workers, nurses, and vocational counselors who did individual planning, advocacy, and coordination, especially navigation of this complex sort of overburdened health system, connecting people to community resources, and helping them find employment and other vocational supports. The outcomes data I'm going to talk about come from surveys, administrative medical records, case manager activity reports, state employment data, and in-depth interviews that we conducted with participants. We surveyed participants at study entry 12 and 18 months. Today I'm going to talk about the 18-month results, and we had 93% response rate for the intervention and 90% for the control group. Sure, thank you. Again, our population was predominantly female, minority, middle-aged, low education, divorced, separated. 48% were less than 100% of federal poverty, 87% less than 200% of federal poverty. They were working on average 33 hours per week, predominantly in sales service, and the single biggest group in our study were health support workers. Again, classic particular job would be home health aide. 11% had a diagnosis of severe mental illness. The rest had a behavioral health and physical health diagnosis. 41% reported at least one limitation in daily activities. And among the most frequent self-reported health conditions included high blood pressure, depression, anxiety, and diabetes. Again, our basic goal was to show that the intervention would help people maintain employment, be less dependent on federal disability benefits, have greater access to care, better health outcomes, and greater satisfaction with work and health. In our analyses, we controlled for a wide range of individual characteristics, gender, age, race, ethnicity, mental health status, overall health status, occupational group, recruitment cohort, which I'll touch on a little bit more later, and kind of their initial status. On kind of our key study endpoint, we did find that the intervention group was less likely than the control group to have started receiving disability, SSI or SSDI. Overall, the difference was 2% difference, 6% in the intervention group, 8% in the control group. However, there was a statistically significant interaction between study group and recruitment cohort. And one feature of our recruitment process was we initially tried to rely on a mail out with telephone follow-up, but we found we weren't meeting our recruitment efforts goals. So we then initiated an in-person recruitment effort where we were able to identify the next appointment our potential candidates had within one of the Harris County Community Health Centers. And then we would have an interviewer go to that clinic and wait for them and try to catch them. You know, the good thing for us was that the average wait time during this period of recruitment for Harris County Hospital patients, typically like 3 to 4 hours waiting for an appointment. However, the good news for us is we were able to intercept them and successfully complete the recruitment and the baseline survey. And so what we found was the people that were recruited by mail or telephone, actually 4% of them were receiving at 18 months SSI or SSDI compared to 8% in the control group. We looked at what was different between those two cohorts. The in-clinic cohort tended to be older, female, and Hispanic. And talking to our case managers, we found that one thing they gave us feedback on is that the people that were recruited by mail telephone tended to be more motivated. So when the case managers interacted with them, initially, they were more excited about getting connected to these additional services. So that's one of the reasons we think we see this difference, but you know, that's sort of just a working hypothesis at this point. Another key thing we were hoping to see was increased access and use of healthcare, particularly the outpatient care of the chronic conditions. And we did see that there were statistically significant differences favoring the intervention group for percent utilizing outpatient services, being seen in a mental health clinic, percent had at least one mental health service, and those who had more dental and optician visits. One thing I'll just note parenthetically, many of the patients had highly significant dental health needs, much more so than we originally envisioned. And I think that's a critical issue in providing healthcare services to this population. We also found that at 18 months, there was greater access to healthcare, particularly seeing a family doctor and getting their prescriptions met. And those were important things that patients identified too. As a result, patients were satisfied with their access and healthcare received. And that was important to the hospital district in seeing that this is one way they could impact this issue, because they definitely were receiving concerns by patients about both issues. Again, we found that patients definitely took advantage of the no copays for prescriptions. And we saw, again, looking at particularly chronic medications related to chronic healthcare conditions, intervention patients more likely receiving those medications and more likely to be adherent, meaning being in continual usage of those medications. And one of the questions we asked as well was, you know, what's driving that impact on healthcare outcomes in the intervention group? So we did some additional analyses just looking at the intervention group and the different services provided. And what we found was that higher case management hours were related to greater usage of outpatient physical health services, requests for a routine medical appointment, being seen in a mental health treatment location, and utilization of mental health services. So we feel like that personalized case management intervention really did produce the outcomes we were hoping. And in particular, we found that when those case managers provided significantly high amounts of case management intervention, we saw that actual emergency room visits decreased both through the actual administrative data and via self-report. Outpatient visits actually decreased as well. It may be that they are getting more effective appointments. Also, they were getting greater urgent care visits, and their earnings were increasing based on the Texas Workforce Commission data. There were differences. There were outcomes that didn't show a difference, kind of mirroring some of the results that Boyd highlighted. There was no difference in the percentage applying for federal disability, generally no difference in their health status, and again, no real differences in their employment and income, including work motivation. One of the things that we realized in trying to understand why we saw certain differences versus no differences in other outcomes, we really, again, used the idea of disability as a person-environment interaction. And one of the things that we tried to do is really conceptualize this balance of forces that each person faced in making these kinds of decisions. On one hand, you have these personal attributes, the capital that the patient had. Do they have a car, a house? Their internal resources, motivation, use of prayer, which is something almost every participant we interviewed mentioned. Their social capital, their social support, job flexibility, and their overall health condition all interacted in this really dynamic interplay. And again, those are all balanced against the benefits. And I can really mirror, I think what Boyd alluded to is that the people in our study really found themselves to identify as workers. They wanted to work, they wanted to keep working. Some of the stories that I'm not going to be able to tell you of people facing seemingly insurmountable health conditions and yet finding a way to continue working. And so they struggled to maintain their health and work, continual interplay of how that worked out for them. Barriers included making and keeping appointments, taking time off for appointments, cost of co-payments, and medications we heard in subsequent interviews we did after services ended. And again, most participants, applying for disability was not a preferable option, even though their physicians may be recommending that. In terms of implications for healthcare reform, the Texas Health and Human Services estimates 1.3 to 1.8 additional adult Texans under 138% of federal poverty could enroll in the Medicaid expansion. We found that these are the predominant people in the DMIE study, and we think these results really suggest that, again, as Boyd mentioned, providing a type of wraparound benefit could be helpful. And one of the things that we saw is that in estimating the per member per month cost of what this person-centered case management could look like, it's really not that large of an additional cost. So we think healthcare reform will lead to many new patients utilizing Medicaid who will need assistance in utilizing these services. Having insurance or access does not guarantee you health care. The DMIE intervention group increased their usage of appropriate health care, and we felt like it definitely led to better manage their health and outcomes. We felt that the person-centered planning and motivation works. In particular, removing copays for medical appointments and medication results in increased use of appropriate services and better disability outcomes. And in particular, too, I think Mike's point about the overall cost of disability in terms of the direct income benefits and the health care, it's billions of dollars. And if you look at just a 2% difference extrapolated to what a lifetime benefit is, which has been estimated at $250,000 for a 50-year-old adult, 2% difference, and I think this is just sort of an early finding, can translate into hundreds of millions of savings across time. We do think a longer study period would have enabled us to observe more differences between the study groups on their health status. Again, these are people with chronic health conditions. 18 months period of time just may not be enough to really have the kind of impact that we were hoping for. But we think across time, you really can make a difference.